We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
It turns out I'm the most, and I think most of you would agree to this, I'm the most transparent president probably in the history of this country. We have given, on a witch hunt, on a hoax, the whole thing with Russia was a hoax.
Would you say that the president has been a transparent president? Or is he engaging in a cover-up?
He is so transparent. He is always talking to the press.
I think that most people who support him sometimes wish he weren't so transparent.
He is the first president that is speaking directly to the people.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
And in doing so, sidestepping a media that has in many, many ways been able to take information that they are provided, package it up, and serve it to the American people in exactly the way that they want it to be presented to the American people. That's what we have seen for a long time. The media loved Obama. Obama came off with glowing reviews night after night after night from the mainstream media. The media hates Donald Trump, which is why the way the dossier finally got out there was because it had to be leaked to Yahoo and like Mother Jones or something, which most of you don't know or read or have any idea what Mother Jones is. Trust me, just don't even go there. But listen to Representative Matt Gaetz was on Hannity the other night talking about what might be coming next.
It was the dossier funded by Democrats that really fueled this investigation. But Comey and Brennan and Clapper, they didn't defend the dossier because it was written by a known liar, as you pointed out in your monologue. So instead, they pivoted and said they had all these legitimate concerns about George Papadopoulos. Here's what we're going to learn. Yeah, we had heard from an unverified foreign source that Papadopoulos might have been talking to some Russians. So there was Western intelligence sent to spy on Papadopoulos, and there's actually a recording and a transcript of that conversation. And there, Papadopoulos denies any illegal conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia. So they had evidence, presumably, that was against Papadopoulos and for him. And what they'll never be able to defend is that they never presented that evidence to the FISA court.
That seems like that would be problematic, especially if you happen to be George Papadopoulos, who joins us now, author of the book Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. George, thank you so much for giving us some time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. So you listen to what Representative Gaetz is saying there on the Sean Hannity show a couple nights ago, and is really talking about how you might be at the center of the way all of this developed. All of this began. We find out there's no Russia collusion. And as I've noted before, now that the Mueller report is out, you hear the media talking about Russia collusion. It's now changed to Russian interference because there was no collusion. The question of how did this all start involves you. When you hear Representative Gaetz there talking about what could be released in days or weeks, what are you thinking about what he's talking about there?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'll say is, of course, it's absurd that I or anyone like me who's never been to Russia, never met a Russian official in his life, could actually be patient zero of a Russia conspiracy. So based on that alone, you could understand that this entire thing was a setup, and they basically were sending these operatives, as Congressman Gaetz mentioned, from Western intelligence organizations to basically set me up or make it look like I was working with Russians so that they could create this fake narrative. So what Congressman Gaetz is talking about is where I was talking to, I believe, Stefan Helper, or that Osra Turk, that informant that was on the front page of the New York Times a couple weeks ago, where I'm telling them exactly what I just told you and the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
How could I have nothing to do with the Russians? What are you talking about? And what I think this was all about was they knew that the dossier was fake and it was a hoax, and eventually if President Trump would be elected, that you know, their day of reckoning would come, because they would have absolutely no explanation whatsoever for using a dossier from Christopher Steele to obtain a FISA. So in conjunction with doing that, what they did was, and now this is all public, they bring in this person, Joseph Mifsud, who's tied to the CIA and to the MI6, to tell me one day in April, hey, George, did you know that the Russians have Hillary Clinton's emails? I did absolutely nothing with this information. Judge Napolitano is then openly talking on Fox News all in early May about the Russians having Hillary Clinton's emails. Then apparently, after I have all these run-ins with these various spies that are sent my way, I have this Australian person, Alexander Downer, who is a Clinton Foundation donor and had a personal relationship with Hillary Clinton. He begins to spy on me and asks me various questions about my own background in the energy business, and I think he probably brings up, I assume he brings up Russia, because I have absolutely no memory whatsoever of talking about Russia with him. And he then relays some fake information to the FBI about me, to lie about me, to basically create a fake probe along with the dossier. So that's what this story really is about, and what Congressman Gates and Devin Nunes and Gowdy and Mark Meadows have been talking about recently, and I testified in front of Mark Meadows, is about declassifying these transcripts that show me probably talking to these individuals I just told you about, and I'm telling them that I have nothing to do with the Russians and for them to basically leave me alone. And unfortunately for the FBI under Comey, they hid this from the FISA courts, and if that was intentional, they might be looking at charges themselves now.
So let me ask you this. How much of the information that the investigators who are now investigating the investigation, how much info has already been put into the hands of these investigators, the prosecutor out of Connecticut that William Barr has appointed, the congressmen and women who have sat in these hearings, sometimes these private hearings? How much information is already out there that is going to subsidize this idea of a potential conspiracy to take down the president of the United States?
Well, one of the unintended benefits and of my book, Deep State Target, is that I lay out exactly who was running into me, why they were running into me, meaning these operatives who were trying to take down Trump, and who was sending them. And now that we know that the higher leadership of the FBI was involved, and now more recently we know that the CIA was involved in my case, I've had, Congress, I can't tell you which committee, but a committee from Congress has reached out to me recently and has asked me about the contents of my book, because I lay out all of the names of the people who were trying to set me up to eventually get President Trump. So that is, my book is certainly being used today. I do know that these transcripts that people like Congressman Gowdy and Gates are talking about to get declassified, they are going to be revealed, and they're going to be used in the new investigations. And, a lot of other information. I don't know exactly what else, except for my case, of course. I don't know what's being used for, Paul Manafort or Carter Page. But I think Durham and Barr and Horowitz and Huber, they have a clear picture of what's happening. A lot of foreign governments are currently cooperating with the Trump administration. And even Gina Haspel, who was the head of the London office of the CIA, she's cooperating. So I think people like Jim Comey, Brennan, Sally Yates, Loretta Lynch, Andy McCabe, Strzok, Lisa Page, one, if not all of these individuals are going to find themselves in some legal jeopardy moving forward.
I want to ask you, why do you think they targeted you?
Well, what I think this was about was there was probably some sort of illicit surveillance already on me, like there was on Flynn. And I say this because I had been working in the energy industry in Israel and in the Middle East at a time when Obama actually just despised the Israelis. And by the time that the FBI came to my house in January of 2017, and when a lot of these informants that I've talked to you about today were running into me, they were asking me about my ties to the Israelis, the energy business there. So clearly there was some sort of eye on me for that. The second thing is I was living in London for the first couple months of the campaign, so it was clearly easier for the Obama administration to farm out surveillance to the UK or Australia. to spy on me and to try and get, you know, to try and understand the inner workings of the campaign. And that's actually why there's such a crisis right now between the U.S., the U.K., and Australia, and why the U.K. and Australia don't want the president to declassify the FISA materials, because they're complicit in it. I don't know if they were, you know, volunteering to assist the Obama administration in spying on us. I know President Trump tweeted 2 weeks ago that he knows the British were spying. Certainly the British officials were meeting with me quite frequently. So he's probably going to get to the bottom of that and find out during his trip to London in June what the British involvement was. And hopefully the British cooperate and explain exactly who they were taking orders from, because I'm certain that foreign governments weren't messing around with an American citizen working for a presidential campaign like me unless the U.S. government told them to.
Wow. We're speaking with former advisor to President Trump, George Papadopoulos, a name that we are all very familiar with. You get to hear directly from him. You can read directly from him by checking out his book, Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump, on Amazon. You suggest they were trying to bring President Trump down, candidate Trump down, but also you've mentioned a lot of very big names as you've been telling your story here with us today. How far do you believe that the tentacles of this alleged conspiracy actually go?
I don't think that, okay, let's just remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about a presidential campaign season, just like the one that's coming up right around the corner in 2020. So for people like Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andy McCabe, to be running as basically spies at American citizens working for a rival presidential campaign the way they were, and wiretapping us and issuing FISA warrants, just that alone had to come from the absolute top of the DOJ, including Comey and Loretta Lynch and Sally Yates. That's why you're starting to see Loretta Lynch turning on Comey during her recent testimony, because she had to sign off on the FISA warrants along, and then Rosenstein, of course, had to sign off on the renewals, and that's why he's turning on Comey, because they don't want to be involved in something which they now know, of course, was illegal, illicit, and was done in bad faith. And what I think this leads to is probably Obama himself with Brennan. I think, and this is, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be correct moving forward when this all comes out. I think Obama and Brennan were running this along with Strzok. That's why so many foreign governments are actually involved in my story and in the story of the spying scandal. And of course, then the British, through Christopher Steele and then the CIA, was feeding information about Trump and his associates to the FBI, which then they used to get a faulty warrant to start to surveil the whole campaign. So I think it starts with Barack Obama, goes to Brennan, and then you have these grunts like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page up to no good and you know, really trying to cause harm. But it, of course, it starts at the absolute top.
Do you believe that would make this the biggest scandal in American history?
I think this is the biggest scandal in American history. I think this is a dark chapter in American history. I'm actually very, I know Donald Trump is an extraordinary person, and so I'm not shocked that he's actually able to govern the way he is and so well, considering he's had to deal with this witch hunt. But, you know, I truly believe this was the greatest spying scandal in modern political history, and I think President Trump is correct to, you know, really initiate new investigations into the investigators, because as the 2020 campaigns and presidential election season turns around the corner, we don't want this happening again. Does President Trump want his administration or his campaign infiltrated by, you know, informants or rogue CIA or FBI people spying on him again, or, you know, foreign governments colluding against him? No, of course he doesn't want it, because that's what happened to him in 2016, and he still won. So if he doesn't put his foot down and fight back the way he is now, then it's going to happen again. Because, look, there are a lot of people who are still upset about President Trump winning in 2016, and they might have a vendetta after him in 2020. And I think President Trump is smart enough to understand that, and that's why you know, so many people told him, you know, just forget it. Don't really get these new investigations all ramped up. But now we see American support behind it. I think there was a poll just yesterday released that over 50% of the country supports these new investigations. And it's probably the most sensitive topic in America today, and America is behind it. So I'm very happy to see where this is going, and I think William Barr is the absolute right person to be in charge of it.
Well, one last question here for our guest, George Papadopoulos, the former advisor to President Trump and author of the book Deep State Target. Where, for the 50% plus people who are supporting these investigations as they see them right now, where would you encourage those people who care about the future of this country, who want to know what happened to you, and what ultimately ended up happening with candidate and President Trump, where would you tell the American people to set their focus?
Certainly, if they want some inside information, my book, A Deep State Target, really brings the reader into the room with me with these various traps that were set for the campaign and candidate Trump. And I would also look at testimonies that have been released recently, including mine that I gave to the House Oversight Committee in October of 2018, Jim Comey, Sally Yates, Loretta Lynch, Peter Strzok, and Congressman Doug Collins from Georgia is doing an outstanding job releasing these transcripts. So if you really want some inside information that you probably can't get even on some of the greatest shows on TV or even radios like yours, I would highly recommend reading the congressional transcripts, because they're going to act as a roadmap into investigating those who might have lied under oath, those who are trying to deflect, and those who intentionally tried to defraud both the American people and the FISA courts that led to the scandal that we're living today.
Well, George Papadopoulos, we are watching this very closely. We are going to read your book. It's Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump, available on Amazon. Search George Papadopoulos there, and I'd encourage people to follow you on Twitter and everything. We will share all of that on all of our social media so people can get your words as you intended them, and we are very gracious for your time today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon. That's George Papadopoulos, the former advisor to President Trump, really very near the epicenter of how this all started. Great to be able to get him on the show today. And we're going to follow up with him as well. As things develop, I'm going to continue to reach out to him and try to get him back on with us. Very gracious for his time. Let's take a quick break. We're going to do a Signs of the Apocalypse before the show is over. And your phone calls. What do you think about what George Papadopoulos just had to say there? He absolutely believes it's the biggest scandal in American history, and he's got Obama in charge of the thing. That's frightening. I mean, as somebody who is following this on a day-to-day basis, to step back for a second.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And say, wait a second, whoa. This is what it must have felt like to be Joy Behar for 2.5 years thinking that the president stole the election from Russia. But that didn't happen. Sorry, Joy. No Joy for you today. It's no collusion. What day is it? I don't know. I took Wednesday off. Does that mean today Thursday?
Thursday.
Thought all last night it was Friday. Disappointed every time I remembered it was Wednesday. I'm so confused. We're going to get that whole George Papadopoulos interview up on our website at 971talk.com/Annie ASAP in case you missed any of it, and we'll share it. We encourage you to share it as well. Back with your phone calls, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Your reactions next.
Working people to vote for me, regardless of ideology. No, listen to what I'm saying. Regardless of ideology, regardless of party affiliation, what the Democrats have not done well enough in recent years is be the party of working people. To too many Americans, somehow Democrats became the party of the elite. They did not say boldly, bluntly, we need a government that is for working people.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
Oh, Bill. You can put on my cut sheet anything that Bill de Blasio says, and I will play it so that I can go play Randy Quaid.
Bill.
The Dems are getting another beauty to join their group. Bill de Blasio of New York City, considered the worst mayor in the United States, will supposedly be making an announcement for president today. He is a joke. But if you like high taxes and crime, he's your man. New York City hates him.
Randy Quaid is...
New York City hates him.
He's not wrong. I don't know if he's well.
Maybe I'll do Signs of the Apocalypse as Randy Quaid today.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Man, this is a must-hear radio.
Bill de Blasio.
His voice...
Of New York
He would
City.
Make an excellent animated character as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Considered by many to be America's worst
or
mayor.
A librarian.
Yep, that's true.
He could be a librarian.
Historian.
Bill de Blasio, like the only... Bill de Blasio says that he didn't think the Democrats are getting... He says he's going to get people to work for him. I don't know.
Witch hunt!
Somehow, the Democrats became the party of the elite. Well, elitist Bill de Blasio, you think you're the answer to global warming. We have a global warming problem. Well, that's okay. We've got a Bill de Blasio solution to sell you.
Perfect.
Bernie Sanders thinks he's the answer to everything. He wants to, you know, get the man out of the way, but he wants to become the man. He wants to take the power away from the people who are running businesses and creating profit and employing people. He doesn't want them to have all that. He doesn't want that person who created all that to have all that. You know, you didn't build that type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the government to take control over it, and he wants to lead the government. He wants to be the man. Kamala Harris wants to be the man. Kirsten Gillibrand wants to be the man, and so does Mary Catherine Gallagher. What is her name? Mary.
Oh. Had a little lamb.
Marianne Williamson.
Marianne. It's a normal name. Marianne Williamson.
She's a new age author.
Yes. That is all we know. And she has...
Marianne Williamson.
Can we do that at the next
new
segment?
New age author.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how Kirsten Gillibrand talks about Marianne Williamson. I've heard
believes
it.
Believes she should be the next president of the United States.
I want to play this real quick for you because this is nuts. Did you hear Mazie Hirono at a Planned Parenthood or pro-abortion rally? Did Mm-mm. you hear? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Good. She's going to be talking here about a conversation she had in a classroom with eighth graders at a Planned Parenthood pro-choice rally. She's there and there's Planned Parenthood stuff behind her. She's a senator from Hawaii, and this is what she's talking about with middle school children.
I just left 16 eighth graders from a public school in Hawaii, and I told them I was coming to a rally in front of the Supreme Court, and they said, why? And I said, it's because we have to fight for abortion rights, and they knew all about it. And I asked the girls in that group of eighth graders, how many of you girls think that government should be telling us women when and if we want to have babies? Not a single one of them raised their hand. And then among the 60, I said, you know, it's kind of hard for a woman to get pregnant without you guys. How many? They got it. How many of you boys think it's government should be telling girls and women when and if we're going to have babies? And not a single one of them raised their hand.
A United States senator goes into a middle school classroom and says she's going to be standing in front of the Supreme Court at a rally.
To make sure,
oh my gosh, if your kid came home, what would you do?
I would freak out.
Holy cow.
And what,
woo!
Okay, eighth grade is what, like 11 and 12 years old?
14.
No, 13 and 14.
Okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I was thinking of sixth grade.
Shook.
Not cool.
What?
So
13
awful.
Or 14 year old is going to, when a United States senator is lecturing them about something and says, does anybody disagree? What 13-year-old is going to raise their hand? I mean,
They don't even know what's going on.
And what 13-year-old even should have an opinion? Like,
James, let's say James is 13 years old.
Yeah.
A little while from now. James is a 13-year-old, and a United States politician comes into the classroom and points to him and says, what about you guys? Because, you know, they don't get pregnant without you guys. And then says, which one of you want to stand against reproductive rights for women? And comes home. What does that do to a boy? These boys are not responsible for the problem that you're saying that all men are responsible for. Do not create my son into a victimizer before he's had a chance to live his life. And get the heck out of the classroom.
Ugh.
And the parenting decisions that I'm supposed to be able to make with my child about talking about your political policies and positions. If you are a Republican who went in front of a classroom and said anything about God's children, or said anything about how life starts at conception and how we need to protect God-given life of any kind like that, people would lose their minds.
Right. Because it shouldn't be in the classroom.
Exactly. And neither should this.
This is the most flip-testable thing in the world. Imagine if a United States senator, a Republican, went into a group of eighth graders and said, you know, if a bad guy breaks into your house.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
In the middle of the night and has a gun and is going to shoot your mom and dad, don't you want your mom and dad to have a gun to be able to shoot back and stop that criminal? That's why we need to protect our Second Amendment rights. Does anybody disagree?
Yeah. Who's going to stand? They don't know.
And not one kid raised their hand.
They don't
it's
know.
Proof.
And they don't care.
And that's fine
because they're kids.
And imagine what the Democrats would say if United States senators were in eighth grade classrooms preaching about gun rights. They would flip out. But
and
somehow this is not only okay, but exactly. Not only is this okay, but she's bragging about it. She's proud of it.
She doesn't get it.
She doesn't have to get it.
She
is a joke.
If you went in and invoked any type of religious conversation in front of a classroom of kids, you'd separation of church and state. Well, the thing is, with people like Mazie Hirono and all of the merry men and women that are socialists, that hate this president, who want to take all of the responsibility, all of the authority into their own laps because they just freaking know better. Government is their religion, and you can keep that religion out of school too. I will decide when it comes to who we are going to worship and how we're going to worship, how we are going to do it in our home. And we're not going to worship government, and we're not going to do it in the school, and we're not going to do it at home. And do not come after my 13-year-old or 14-year-old and try to fill their empty head vessels with your hogwash. It is not the way we need to do things. And if you want to go persuade a bunch of 13 and 14-year-olds to support your quest for reproductive rights, when those kids don't even know what reproductive rights are, they're 13 and 14. They know enough at 13 and 14 already. They don't need you politicizing what they know 50% of, and then you fill in the gaps when they're in a classroom.
Mm.
She's the one who needs to sit down and shut up.
Ugh.
I can't even put myself in the headspace where my kid comes home from school and says something like this happens. That's why I go kiss on my kids at Lutheran schools. Not that all public schools would do this, but that's not going to happen. Oh my gosh.
I know she felt really great about herself for doing that, like due diligence. I would have loved for her to have the reaction of the parents that went home and heard that story from their eighth grader, just like you're explaining. That part's left out, the parents and their reaction. And I guarantee it was not something like, you know what? Yes.
Yeah.
That bravo. I guarantee it was not like that.
No. And kids are not having these conversations at home with regularity. And that might be the choice of the parents as well. Because, heck, I don't care if I'm for abortion or against abortion. I don't want my 13 or 14-year-old girl or boy knowing that if you have sex with somebody and you get pregnant, you can just wave a magic wand with $300 attached to it and make the problem go away.
That doesn't teach anybody yet.
That does not teach men, boys in this case, that does not teach men to take responsibility for their actions. And it tells women that they don't now have to take responsibility for their actions either. This pro-abortion movement, we're not talking about the situation where there is a woman making a very, very scary decision, no matter what she chooses, in an exam room by herself. We're not talking about this. We're talking about the politicization of this. We are talking about people who are taking that woman and taking advantage of her and telling her she should empower herself by choosing to abort her baby because that's just what feminists do. And it's wrong. So do not come into the classroom. Do not tell children about issues that you have no business telling them unless you are their parent. Back the heck out. Maisie Hirono makes me crazy. Mm-hmm. Every time she talks, I get ragey. They showed this on Tucker Carlson last night, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, in disbelief.
Eighth graders. Eighth graders. Stop it. Go educate the people who are your own age on some things for once. Maybe they could use it. Let's do Signs of the Apocalypse when we turn. We'll be back in just a second.
Senator Schumer, Speaker Pelosi, I want to do infrastructure. I want to do it more than you want to do it. I'd be really good at that. That's what I do. But you know what? You can't do it under these circumstances. So get these phony investigations over with.
And I guess we're done.
And that's a wrap.
This is.
Hey,
it worked. It works now.
No.
Now that one does.
But this one's not mine. This one's not mine.
What's happening?
Katie, nothing
is functioning here today. Except for the air conditioner is working wonderfully.
Yeah, the air conditioner is working great.
Microphones aren't working. Webcams aren't working.
Typically, I can turn my microphone on and off, but I can't anymore. Because it's broken, so we're using a different one that I can't reach, so only Katie can turn it on.
There's a tornado warning in Washington, D.C. right now.
Oh, yeah?
My goodness.
Yeah, we normally have Fox News on this TV. We've had the Weather Channel up all day, and I've just been watching like what's taking place in Maryland.
What's happening?
But this says there's a tornado warning in Washington, D.C. right now. And the president is speaking with cowboys behind him.
He is.
What's going on?
The Agricultural Department announced today, and the president is literally rolling it out as we speak, that it will provide $16 billion in assistance to farmers to help offset their losses triggered by the ongoing trade conflict with China. The program will provide as much as $14 billion in direct payments to farmers and comes amid a breakdown in talks between the U.S. and China that were intended to forge a new trade deal between the world's two largest economies. So President Trump acknowledging that farmers are being hurt by this trade conflict, and so they have put together this package to help aid farmers on the way through. He had a quote a minute ago that said, "Farmers will be greatly assisted by aid," or greatly helped. I think it was.
Which is what aid is.
I think it said. 16. I think it said Trump: farmers will be greatly helped by aid.
Good. $16 billion in aid to farmers amid the trade war.
$14 billion in direct payments. So here's some cash. Sorry about the trade war.
Sorry, and I can't remember which representative or who it was. Maybe out of Kansas that we played within the last week was saying that they toured the country and they talked to people who are being affected by these tariffs and they say, go get them, president. They don't lose support for Trump amidst what he's trying to do with China. It's like they get it. Anyway.
Now, Signs of the Apocalypse on the Annie Fry Show.
I think the studio doesn't want us to be in here.
That's a good point.
It's like, just go home.
I'm going to freeze them out.
Why are you still here?
Microphones are going
to
stop working.
It got to the point where they turned the webcam off and the microphones
off. That's right.
And my screen, I can't play sound. So it's like, what's
happening?
Yeah.
Researchers swabbed a bunch of different surfaces in New York City to see the amount of bacteria on them. They swabbed coins, cash, and credit cards, which are things we touch every day.
Mm-hmm. We're going to New York, Katie.
Here are the top eight filthy things on the average bacteria that have the most average bacteria on their surface. Number one. You want to start at number one?
Yeah.
a McDonald's door handle.
Oh, gross. Like, just the handle to get in?
Yes.
That's number one.
Number one
most bacteria.
Is the door handle at McDonald's.
Oh, my gosh. That should show you how many people are going to McDonald's.
Number two, a park bench. Number three, a parking meter. Number four, credit cards. Mm-hmm. Number five, a public bathroom.
Oh, Lord.
Think about that. Credit cards, parking meter, park bench, and the door at McDonald's are all dirtier than a public bathroom.
Yuck.
So number six was cash. Number seven was coins. And number eight was a Subway pole.
I was going to say Subway. Here, so. Yeah. That's
lots of things on that list I don't touch every day, so I'm okay.
I'm going to do this one as Randy Quaid gross, because it lends itself to Randy Quaid.
Do you need a refresher?
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
A man in India posted a picture of his neighbor's car on Facebook on Monday. It was over 110 degrees outside, so to keep it cool, she covered her entire car in cow poop.
Oh, no!
Oh, gosh.
Why?
In rural parts of India, where cows are a big deal, people will sometimes put poop on their floors and walls because they think it will help them stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer.
Ew,
there's a picture
what would
of it.
You, do? No,
you can't really see
no,
it.
No,
you can't really tell.
That's not. That
there's
is not
nothing
color.
Stinkier than that. That has got to be the stinkiest thing.
Katie, 110 degrees. Your car is covered in cow poop. Oh. What does that smell like when that heat is just?
That's what I'm saying. It's stinky.
That's not good.
Covered her car in cow poop.
Oh, gross! Don't do that, folks. Learn the lesson. Don't do it.
Podcast. Just don't do it, period.
Podcast available at radio.com. And make sure you go back and listen to the interview we did with George Papadopoulos. Really interesting stuff. He made some pretty bold statements there. We'll have that all available for you at 971talk.com/Annie. And on our podcast, which you can subscribe wherever you subscribe to podcasts, just search for The Annie Fry Show there, also at radio.com. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.